You're with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Now, last time you heard from Queenslander Lucy Barnard, she was about to take on the walking adventure of a lifetime.
So I start at the bottom of Argentina in a town called Ushuaia, which is the lowest city of the world where the boats for Antarctica leave. From there, I head across into Chile, and over the course of a year, I will navigate my way all along the Argentinian-Chile border.
And that was on the 13th of February, a little over 2 months ago. So how much could possibly happen in just the first 2 months of a three-year adventure? Perhaps there's a clue in Lucy's latest blog post. The title is Fevers, Infections, Flooded Exits, Lost Food and a Dip in Antarctic Waters. Oh, so Lucy Barnard, how are you?
Yeah, look, at the moment I'm really good because I've just come off another long hike and I'm resting up at a couch surfing house where you can stay for free and usually for as long as you like. So I've been eating and fattening up again and planning my next route. So I'm in really good spirits, but definitely the start was a really good wake-up call. All the things that could have gone wrong did go wrong, but it was a good test of my beacon and making sure that I can be tracked down and that I can be in communication with people when I'm really in the middle of nowhere.
Where are you right now, apart from on a couch?
I'm in a town called Puerto Natales. It's a small town. It's kind of got almost a ski town feel to it, except that it's more predominantly hiking and kayaking kind of an area.
And so how many steps or kilometres are you into this journey to the top of the world?
Yeah, I think I've just crossed 700 kilometres and I've had a few times I've had to change my route as well, which means that I've walked further than I had wanted to. But it's been good because every time I've had to change plans, I've met new people who've come and walked with me for a couple of days, and that makes it feel not quite so far. It makes days go really quickly.
Have you then had to use your beacon?
Not to set off the SOS International Emergency Response System, but I do use it all the time. So the beacon has multiple purposes. The first thing is it tracks exactly where I am, so anyone can go onto a map and see exactly what the path is that I've walked so far. It is also like a text messaging device. So at any time, I can use the satellites to message, you know, family or email them and let them know how I am. Or in the case of being in Cerro de Fuego, where the winds really picked up and showed me that the tent wasn't going to survive the higher Patagonia region, I pre-organised to have a new tent sent to me so that I wouldn't be delayed at the next city where I had to wait for it. So it's a really important piece of equipment in my kit.
Now, we were going to speak to you a few weeks ago, Lucy, but another very important piece of your kit, your mobile phone. You had a bit of an incident with that. Could you tell me what happened?
Yeah, so I was crossing the Strait of Magellan, which actually turned out to be over a 200-kilometre kayak leg that I had to complete over 4 days. And for several reasons, the kayaking team that was supporting me in a boat turned up a day late, and it just happened that then on the final day, the weather, just bad luck, the weather changed, and all of a sudden I was in the most precarious part of the crossing, and the waves just turned on me, and I went from paddling in flat water to what felt like 6 metre waves. It probably was more close to 3 to 4 metres. And I'm not particularly experienced at bracing, but I got most of the way across safely, and then it got too much, so I had to be pulled into the safety boat for the last 500 metres. And while we were doing that, the waves just washed everything off the top of the kayak where they were secure, my gear was secured. And the bag with my phone and my beacon and a few like pieces of food and other things swept away, and we couldn't find it, and it was too dangerous to go looking for it. So in the morning we went to find the dry bag using the beacon, and were hopeful that everything would be okay because the beacon was still working, but the beacon's waterproof and nothing else was, so it was the only thing to survive because the dry bag itself failed and the bag flooded.
Thank goodness for that safety boat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was probably one of the most expensive components of my trip so far in terms of logistics. And a big part of my fundraiser, which is there to pay for safety measures when required.
Do you have backup along the trip in that way, Lucy, or are you alone for most of it?
The plan was to be alone for most of it, but actually people get very excited when they hear about what I'm doing. And so I've really only walked alone for maybe 5 days in the last 4 weeks because people will come and join me for sections, or I'll walk past a big farm and I'll go up and say hello to the farmers. So while it is a solo trip, I seem to be always in contact with people.
So you're making friends along the way.
You bet. And it's amazing, you know. Like, people over here are so warm and welcoming, and I cannot tell you, I've had countless meals given to me, and when I'm walking along the road, I will purposefully walk on the wrong side of the road so people don't automatically stop to offer me a lift. But then even doing that, people will pull off on the wrong side of the road and stop me and ask me what I'm doing, and then they'll offer me chocolate or anything that they have in their car to make my expedition just that little bit easier. It's just amazing.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now, is there a language barrier that you've got to contend with as well, though?
Yes, I'm really good at charades. So one of the biggest challenges has been learning Spanish. And, of course, when my phone drowned, I have audio classes that are on my phone, so that has meant that I've had the last month of no continuous learning. So I'm really behind in learning, but that's not to say that I know enough to explain what I'm doing and answer basic questions.
Now, the title of your blog post, also mentions fevers and infections. So how is your body holding up?
Well, it's actually doing really well. So before I left, I made a point of seeing some physios to make sure that I'm doing preventative exercises to make sure that I don't suffer any early injuries. But I have had a few interesting things happen. So, I got a cut on my toe, which became infected. And in the early days, I also got a UTI, which was a really bad timing because I was about 15 days away from the next town, and that obviously can be extremely uncomfortable. So I have a first aid kit that happens to have general antibiotics in it, so that worked, and that's been brilliant. I also have walking sticks, and I use those a lot when I'm tired, because just one bad foot placement can cause a sprained ankle or any number of issues. And I have, even when I'm not tired, I've had land fall from underneath me. I took one major stack halfway down a huge hill and my left half my gear up the top of the hill because I just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled until I finally got to the bottom of the hill. So there's been quite a lot of that and just normal stuff like blisters on my feet and little hot spots under my shoes, so I've had to come up with inventive ways to release the pressure. But so far, like right now, I'm feeling really good.
At any point have you thought, oh, actually I've got more fun things to do with my life and maybe this is too hard?
You know what, it's funny, I feel like I should draw a cartoon, because in the beginning I was like, in my head, as I was walking, I was thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, look, that's pretty. Let's take a photo. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Ah, oh, you're an idiot. Ah, oh, no, this is so great. You know, so you go through this constant battle with your head because it's just getting used to the new lifestyle. And that questioning myself is becoming less and less. Of course, there are obstacles where I'm always thinking, why haven't you thought of that? Or, is this really something you want to do? especially when I have to leave people, because one thing I really miss when I'm hiking is conversations. So definitely there have been a lot of incidences where I've questioned myself and if this is something that I really want to continue with. But the best thing is I have so many people now who, even if I don't know them, they send me emails and encouragement, and it makes a huge, huge difference.
And so, Lucy, what is the best thing that you've seen on this trip so far? You're in fairly remote areas. Has there been wildlife that you've seen, or what's just amazed you?
Wildlife? There are a lot. So condors are becoming, or they're threatened. I don't know if they're endangered, but there are a lot here, and I've seen a few endangered species. So that's been great. And actually, I was camping on a beach one day, and so 2 metres from where my tent was deep enough water for dolphins to be doing backflips. So that was cool. And I've kayaked past massive glaciers, which are just spectacular. And then, of course, as you walk every day, mountains become closer to you, and it's just, and the sunrises and sunsets are incredible. You know, the particular area that I'm in right now is famous for its scenery. So every day I see something really cool. And actually, one thing that I've never even considered that exists before is like a fog rainbow. So I woke up the other day and right behind me was a full rainbow, except without colours. It was just solely made out of fog, and it was breathtaking.
And so what is, you're resting up at the moment. What's the next goal?
The next destination is El Calafate, and again, I've got a border crossing problem because I need to give them 30 days' notice if I want to cross a border at a place that's not like a designated crossing point. But I never know 30 days in advance how far forward I'm going to get. So, again, I'll be walking to the border with a group of people that I'm staying with here at the moment, and then I'll have to catch a bus around through the official border and then walk back to the border from the other side, the Argentinian side, which will only be about a day walk, and then I will head into El Calafate, which is another beautiful town.
Best of luck. It's fascinating following your journey, and I'm sure we'll get to talk in a little while and see how you're going.
Yeah, check in. It's great.
Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.